Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you are having a great start to your week. A marvelous Monday to our new listeners. If you're someone that's just tuning into the show for the first time or the first time, you know, after a few weeks of listening, or if you've been listening to us for a while, thank you for being along for the ride. But today I am very happy to welcome a special guest. You know him when it comes to Memphis sports. This gentleman can be found covering it all. The Tigers, the Grizzlies. We want to talk about the Cowboys, okay. But his name is Isaac Simpson from Hoopball Grizzlies, a part of the wonderful group over at Hoopball Grizzlies. Isaac, how are you doing today, sir?
Man, I'm doing good, man. How are you doing, John?
I can't complain at all. I'm a Grizzlies fan. I cheer for the best collegiate football and basketball team in the state of Tennessee. So I'm perfectly fine. How are you doing, Isaac? That is the big question.
Well, on that last part, that's debatable. I'll put that out there. But other than that, man, it's fantastic, man. A lot of stuff going on with the Grizz. I think a lot busier than any of us expected. I expected to be a kind of a quiet off season, and we did not get that at all. I mean, they've been willing to deal it, and now I don't think they're done.
Yeah, no, that hits the nail on the head. Of course, you can find Isaac Simpson and all his great work, and I mean the insights on Twitter, just everything. When it comes to the Tigers and the Grizzlies, it's hard to get much better than Isaac. Isaac is wonderful in his coverage of both. You can find him at Isaac_Rivals. And Isaac, you're exactly correct. This has been an active summer. But the thing is two things that really stick out to me. Number one, it's active like it was in 2019, but in 2019, we were gathering stuff together. We were getting intriguing asset, intriguing asset, intriguing asset. Now this summer, we're moving off the certainty in a few assets in Grayson Allen and Jonas Valanciunas, gaining some future assets, but also a bit more uncertainty. And that's the thing about it. In 19, we knew we were going forward. This year, it feels like we're moving forward for the future, but maybe with a bit of a step back in the present. I think the certainty to uncertainty may not necessarily resonate with some people like the summer of 19 did.
Yeah, it's definitely a change. And I think a lot of people are kind of, especially ones that aren't just like super tuned in and covering the team and into the stuff like we are, I think they might be a little bit confused. But one point that kind of stood out to me from the end of the season presser with Zach Kleiman and Taylor Jenkins, Zach Kleiman said that the path of a rebuild is not always linear. And that point at that time stood out to me. And I think what we've seen so far this offseason is exactly that. I mean, this front office time and time again has stated that everything that they do is viewed through the prism of the long term. And they weren't afraid to possibly take a couple steps back if it means moving forward in the future, despite the fact that they've overachieved, made the playoffs last year, really close to making the playoffs the first year of the rebuild, probably would have if it wasn't for some injuries there in the bubble. But they've said this time and time again. What last year, I was a guy that wasn't completely bought in on that train of thought, kind of the way they kind of handled some injuries and some things I kind of questioned. But once they made the move for JV, with JV trading to New Orleans, and some of the other things they did this offseason, they've even tripled down on the fact that this is a long-term deal. And making the playoffs and possibly getting out of the first round into the second round if things go right, that's not the goal of this front office. This front office wants to be a championship contender, and they're looking 2, 3, 4 years down the line. And that's kind of what we're seeing right now.
Agreed. And this is all in the idea of strengthening this roster and this roster's assets to be as good a position as it can be when they're ready and when they're able to actually compete. And in that process, it's wonderful that the success that this roster has had in the first 2 years with Jaw as your franchise cornerstone. But I think last year, you kind of got an idea of what the ceiling of this roster is.
Yeah,
Jaw nor Jaren were at their best. And then Jaren, because of injury, Jaw may not have developed like a lot of people thought that we did towards the end of the year. You had a lot of players who contributed well. Grayson, Dylan, Kyle, Jonas. A lot of those players, though, were on expiring contracts. So I think that the Grizzlies came into this offseason thinking, we've got a lot of present value. Let's make decisions on who we want to really keep around to get an idea of what our future might look like. And if there's not someone that fits that bill, let's see what's out there. And I think that that's what you got in the Grayson and Jonas Valanciunas trades. And when it comes to the value that they actually got, Isaac, I'm certainly okay with the moves. I think they made the right decision.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think you look at the JV situation, and I was a big fan of Jonas Valanciunas and what he brought to this team. And I think he's going to be missed. Steven Adams is a different kind of player, and I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit later. But he's going to be a free agent at the end of this offseason, at the end of this coming season. And they weren't going to re-sign him. And so they looked up, they had a guy in mind that they wanted in Zaire Williams. They didn't feel like he'd be there at 17. So they used him to facilitate trade to move up to 10 and to get their guy. And if you look long-term and a guy's not going to be part of this roster, I mean, you see what you can get for him. You get assets. It's kind of the same thing they did with Grayson Allen. It's not that these players weren't good for this team last year or weren't big-time contributors. Because both of those guys were big-time contributors for this roster, starters on this roster. But they weren't guys that they viewed long-term as long-term pieces for this team. And they're in the business of collecting assets to be ready to make a big move whenever that is down the line. And that's what we saw. And another thing about the JV trade is I think they – when you look at the vision and what I think Taylor Jenkins' vision of his offense is, I don't think JV – fit that long term. I think they want to be a little bit more open. You want to open things up for Jaren, for him to do a little bit more inside and outside as well. And I think they really want to see what they have in Jaren this season. And I think when you have a guy like JV is at a level of good where you feel obligated to get him touches. And Steven Adams is not that guy. You don't have to run any plays for him. He's going to get most of his points off of offensive rebounds, putbacks, stuff like that. And JV is a guy that you have to run plays for. And when you move him, that's going to open up things for Jaren Jackson Jr. And he's really going to be the man inside. And they're going to find out really what they have for him. And he's up for an extension. Whether they get that done this offseason, who knows. But I think that's an underrated part of that trade that people don't really talk about. They just kind of talk about the expiring contract, stuff like that. But I think it had a lot to do with hoping Jaren and giving him as much room as possible to take that next step.
Yeah, and you hit the nail on the head. Listen, when it came to, you know, I'll mention five players, five veterans who are either on expiring contracts or were potentially sell-high options. Tyus, JV, Grayson, Dylan Brooks, as well as Kyle Anderson. With Grayson and JV, Isaac, you got Steven Adams back, who can take the minutes that JV had and the minutes that he doesn't play and the usage that he doesn't have, you give them to your younger players, which is the goal. With Grayson, you understandably want to give those minutes and that usage to Melton and Bane. Tyus, you've heard being shopped, but the Grizzlies don't really have a replacement, and you know they need a reliable ball handler when Jaw's on the court. So that's a reason why I think he has not been traded. But let's get to Dylan Brooks and Kyle Anderson. The rumor was out there today that, you know, they could be had at the right price. A couple of things stand out about this rumor. Number one, came from a source that covers the Cleveland Cavaliers, who of all the teams out there in the NBA are probably one of the two or three teams that had the biggest reason to want a Kyle Anderson or Dylan Brooks. Number two, they're not as replaceable as a JV or a Grayson. And I do think that they have more sensible roles on the future core of this team. And the third thing is that the type of value that Dylan and Kyle add, it's at a higher level than JV and Grayson. You're talking about two-way players and the duo that leads your defense. I don't really think it makes sense for the Grizzlies to move off those guys unless they're using Kyle or DB as the centerpiece to go get an established roster upgrade. But the bigger question that I ask with you, Isaac, number one, your thoughts on the, you know, quote unquote rumor that came out today, but do you see a current rotation piece for the Grizzlies still potentially possibly being shot like a Tyus, Dylan, or Kyle this summer?
Well, when I first saw the report, I was extremely skeptical. I was thinking, you know, Kyle maybe, but definitely not DB unless they're looking to make a big move. I don't think you move those guys unless there's something out there. You're going out and making a big move, like something crazy, like we're talking Bradley Beal or something crazy like that. I don't think you move Kyle or DB. I kind of think what might have happened, and it kind of goes to the point that you said, is Cleveland called the Grizzlies and said Zach Lyman would we're interested in Kyle and DB. Would you be interested in move him? And he might have said, well, anybody's available for the right price. And that might be kind of where we're getting these reports. I don't think they're actively shopping both of those guys because, as you said, I mean, they're not as easily to replace as JV and Grayson Allen are. Those two guys are a pertinent part of this team right now, and I could be for the future, especially with DB. I think they're the leader of your defense, and I think Kyle might, who's a guy who's once thought not a part of the team's future, could be a candidate for an extension. So I don't think you move either one of those guys out because you don't have anybody behind them that they can step in and replace them. So these are two guys that I think could be a part of this team's future long term. So I don't think they're actually shopping them. Sure, if something crazy comes along and that's what you have to do to kind of make a big move, possibly, but not in something that's not truly significant. I don't see those guys being moved.
And there's also a point, just to being honest, Isaac, is that at some point, you also don't want to completely tear down the progress that you made, exactly. Right? Like, Jonas, Kyle, and Dylan Brooks have been huge, huge pieces to why the Grizzlies have exceeded expectations over the past 2 years. And now you've already traded Grayson and Jonas, who you can make sense of why you moved on from them. But to then sit there and do it with Dylan and Kyle and do it with the future in mind, sure, if somebody wants to overpay, listen. But I also think with Dylan and Kyle, if you trade one of them away, you're kind of overstepping the bounds just a bit. Yeah. Maybe going a bit too far of tearing down the culture. I think that plays a part in the Grizzlies certainly wanting to keep both of them in tow for next season at least.
Yeah, because when you're talking about developing these guys, and these are guys that are playing major minutes along with Ja, as well as Jaren Jackson Jr. when he's healthy. As you said, you don't want to just tear down the whole team. I mean, you want to keep some continuity, some culture to continue for these guys to grow with guys they play with. And once you start getting into DB and Kyle, I think you're doing a bit too much tearing down. I mean, you've already moved your cornerstone piece inside in JV, who's been tremendous offensively for this team for the last couple of years. And you move those guys. I mean, I think you're messing with the defense there. And I mean, and I think, again, you need that continuity, some continuity at least, when you're developing guys. And I just don't think they're ready to go that far unless they're really looking to make a big move. And Tyus is the other guy who I think you look at this roster right now is a guy who's been here who could still possibly be moved. Now, we've heard talks on Rajon Rondo and him not being long for this roster. Actually, there's a scenario I wouldn't be upset if they decided to move Tyus and keep Rajon. I don't think that happened. But if you kind of look at Rondo's numbers, he was a little bit better than Tyus last year. And I think he's a veteran. He's a guy who's been on championship teams. He's been around a while. I think he has some value he can add to as a veteran guy in the locker room if he was willing to come in and accept that role, which I don't know the answer to that question. He might not be. But if he were, I think you look at Tyus and kind of in the same way you look at JV and Grayson Allen. He's a free agent at the end of the season. I personally don't think Tyus is a long-term piece for this team. I think he's going to be a little bit too expensive, and I think he's – I hate to say this, but I think he's a little bit too good to be the back of the job. I don't think you need a guy that's as good as he is. And again, I think it's going to cost – he's probably going to cost more money on the free agent market, on the open market. So if you could move him for assets and you have a guy like Rondo who could be here for a year, he's going to be a free agent as well, to kind of mentor a job, I wouldn't be mad at that. Now, I don't think that's the way they go, but I could understand that if that's the way decision they decide to make.
The summer is here, and of course that means enjoyable times like being out by the pool or potentially being at cookouts, spending time with friends and family. But it also could be a setup for an embarrassing situation, especially if you're outdoors wearing a heavy amount of clothes and you suffer from excessive sweating. That is certainly the setup for a less than ideal experience. Well, if that's the case for you, I have something that could certainly help, and that's Sweat Block Wipes. Doctor created and doctor recommended. It works up to 7 days and has a dry shirt guarantee. If Sweatblock doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. It's been a bestseller on Amazon for 10 years with over 13,000 reviews. And it allows for you to wear what you want to wear with your little secret to confidence, and that's Sweatblock Wipes. This is a must-have for everyone's toiletry bag. No matter the situation, whether it's a big presentation, a formal event, what have you, Sweatblock Wipes is the thing for you. If you or someone you know is dealing with excessive sweating, then you have to check out Sweatblock. You can go to Amazon or your local CVS to find it there, or you can even go to sweatblock.com, put in the promo code LOCKEDON, and get 20% off your next order of Sweatblock. Make it a part of your daily routine. If excessive sweating is something you deal with, Sweatblock wipes are the answer for you. It's that type of time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds and props and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo. Make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys, and if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers when signing up and using the promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to bet on all your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right up to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks expert. Make sure to use the promo code LOCKEDON when signing up at BetOnline today. No, and you bring up a great point. Like, at the end of the day, I do think you're looking at a Tyus Jones, and I could even make a case for a Kyle Anderson to maximize their overall value in this league. I do think they probably could make more sense for a contender than they do for the Grizzlies. That's nothing against them. It's actually meant to be a compliment. I'm meaning that they could play big role on a contender, and so that's why you certainly listen. But at the end of the day, you also don't want to sit here and just completely go to the deep end of the water where you're relying totally on your youth and just, you know, not acknowledging some of the players that have truly developed here. And I also think at the end of the day, while the Grizzlies may want a philosophical shift of shooting more from the outside, really moving the ball around, getting a consistent offense going where they could be a threat from distance just as much as they could in the paint, I think that you also have to have that certainty there. You've got to have some sources of certainty. And with Dylan, Tyus, and Kyle, you know what they do well. And at the end of the day, it matters to at least bank on that in some way, shape, or form going into next year.
Yeah, I mean, Tyus was a big part of that second unit. And even though the numbers aren't always great, he doesn't always shoot the basketball well, he does a fantastic job of facilitating and running that unit. And if you lose him and you have a guy, Rajon, who's always been injured, a lot is just not a lot of certainty where with him and no continuity, I can definitely understand why they would hang on to Tyus. So I can see it from both sides because, I mean, he's definitely been a big part of running their second unit. They've struggled when he hasn't been there with that second unit. So, I don't expect them to keep Rajon. You see the kind of data rumors out there that he could be bought out. I'm sure they'll try to trade him. There's reports out there there's not going to be a lot of interest. The teams kind of know what the situation is there, so they just kind of wait till they wave them, buy them out. But that's going to be interesting to see. But Tyus right now is the only other guy that I look at outside of some guys they brought in. You talk about Wancho and Sam Merrill and other guys that could be possibly moved to get this roster down to the requisite number. But Tyus is kind of the only other guy that's been here that I think there's a possibility that they could do something with. But I think he ends up being here over the night.
And the other thing about it is this, is that even if the Grizzlies for some reason aren't able to do something with a Kyle or a Tyus or something like that this summer, like we've seen every summer, just because a player's contract ends in a certain spot doesn't mean that team, even if that player's not going to stay with them for the future, they're signing trade deals. There are ways to steal value from those players once they sign a team. So that certainly is on the docket for the Grizzlies next year if they choose to go that route. But let's shift gears here a little bit, Isaac. I think that one thing that I feel stood out for me in terms of roster balance going into this offseason was you had a crowded backcourt, but you had your main guy in Ja. You had a crowded front court. You had your main guy in Jaren. And you had a mixture of that crowd being intriguing future pieces with also good pieces in the present that could add value. But one area that really stuck out like a sore thumb was the wing and wing depth. Dylan's emergence last year was a great thing. But now this offseason, going through Jonas, going through Grayson, trading them away, you've gained really intriguing pieces. Zaire Williams in the draft, Jarrett Culver as a potential buy low piece. Do you feel that that wing depth, that if coming into the offseason, the Grizzlies' goal was to improve the outlook for the wing position itself, do you feel they've significantly accomplished that goal this offseason?
Yeah, I definitely think so on multiple fronts. First, you want to start with Desmond Bane, and you have to be really encouraged with what you saw from him in summer league. I mean, playing on the ball, which is something that we didn't see a lot last year, and he seemed to do it really well out there. I know it's a different level of competition, but, I mean, he just dominated and looked too good to be playing at that level. And I think going in, I think summer league is more important. People always talk about the rookies at summer league. I think that the guys that have played a year that are playing in the summer league, I think it's really big for him. And you really would like to see those guys look like a guy that shouldn't be playing. And I think we saw that with both Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman. I think they have to be kind of going out their wing or conversation with Xavier Tillman. But I think they have to be confident in what they saw against Desmond Bane. So I think he's going to take a big step this season. And you move Grayson, that's going to open up more minutes for D'Anthony Melton, a guy who – showed some two-way ability last season. You were thinking he was kind of a one-way player, but he was shooting upwards of about 44% from three at one point last season, which is something that I don't think any of us would have expected going into the season. So he's shown a lot of promise. And then you go out and draft Zaire Williams, who guy who has tremendous upside. I don't think he's the guy that a lot of us thought when the Grizzlies moved up to 10, you get to the draft and you got guys like James Bouknight and Marcus Moses Moody on the board. And you're thinking they're going to take one of those guys, but they took a big swing. But I think when you're in their position, they were in the position to where they could take a swing and wait on a guy and hopefully catch lightning in the bottle. Because, I mean, if Zaire Williams reaches his ceiling, I mean, you think about the length, the defense, the possible shooting ability, guys 6'9", 6'10", playing on the wing in between Ja and Jared. I mean, it's scary to think about how good that could be going forward. And then you go out and bring in Jarrett Culver, which, I admit, man, the numbers weren't good. I mean, you just look at the numbers last year, being 60% from the free throw line, 25% from three. He was 13-53 overall, only 41% from the field. But when I look at that situation, I think, first off, he's in a terrible situation up there with the Timberwolves. A different regime came in. They drafted Anthony Edwards, and they were looking to develop Anthony Edwards, and I think they kind of gave up on the kid, which a former number six pick, I think it's kind of early to give up on him. The thing about Culver is he has a team option, and he's kind of shades of the situation they had with Josh Jackson, who, if they don't pick up this option prior to the season starts and he plays well, you're probably going to have a hard time keeping him because you're capped out of what you can pay him. And that's the interesting situation about him. But I'm intrigued. I was really happy about that pickup because I think it gives you another swing on the guy. I mean, this guy has only played in 97 games. Was the sixth overall pick a couple years ago, and to bring in a guy like that, and basically you give it up pieces that you didn't really want. It's like a free look at a guy. It's a buy low risk guy. I mean, he could end up really paying off for you. Maybe if he is good, he buys into the culture here and likes it, likes the teammates, and decides to stay here despite the contract situation. So I mean, I don't think there's any risk there. So I'm really excited about the fact that they were able to bring him in.
And see, this is one of the reasons why I love talking with Isaac, as well as many that cover the Grizzlies. A wonderful observation. Again, here we're with Isaac Simpson, covers the Tigers with Memphis Rivals, covers the Grizzlies with Hoopball Grizzlies, a wonderful duo with David Williams on the Hoopball Grizzlies podcast. But you hit the nail on the head. They recognized in Jarrett Culver that there had been a regime change in Minnesota. They wanted to get another wing piece. I do think that Culver was an in-game play for this offseason for this Grizzlies front office. They recognized that the regime that did not draft him in Minnesota was not there anymore, took him as a buy-low opportunity to see what they could do for it. But the other thing besides getting wing depth that I think sticks out about this offseason, Isaac, this front office is starting to bet on itself. As creative, resourceful, and proactive as they are, they're wanting to expand the roles of the players that they have that they've drafted and or acquired, and they now also want to really bet on the fact that they've traded away present pieces for future upside swings. And that's something else that really stands out to me. This front office, maybe not necessarily going all in, but it truly is betting on the moves that it makes, and it's also betting on the decisions that it feels has certainly done well for it so far. And I kind of like it. I know it's a risk, but if the track record that you've had so far is any indication, it certainly is worth betting on. And I think that that's what this front office had in mind this offseason.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, if you kind of look back, we've praised this front office and talk about how well they've done. I mean, you draft Jott, right? That's a no-brainer. And some of the things that they've done prior kind of moves that if you could make these moves, most people would make them. But now they've done a lot of things where some people might question, and they're betting on themselves that if these things work out, it shows you how good this front office is. And I think now we're at the point of this rebuild where things they're going to do some things where they're not going to be home runs. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing this summer. You're moving off some veteran pieces, guys who have really been productive for you, bringing in some younger pieces. Zaire Williams is a big swing. He's always going to be compared to guys like Bouknight and Moody throughout their career. And if it doesn't work out, I mean, they're going to take some flack for that. If JV, they move JV and this thing doesn't work well and he's really good in New Orleans, which I expect him to be, and things kind of go off the rails here, they're going to take some heat for that. But I think they're willing to stick their neck out like that to hopefully get this thing to pay off. And they took some swings. I mean, they're collecting assets. They got some upside players. Zaire Williams, I think, is the ultimate upside swing. But if this pays off, they're going to look like geniuses in the end. And I think that they were willing to take that risk in order to get that big payoff in the end.
And that's the other thing that stands out as well, besides going for the upside plays, especially on the wing, betting on themselves. The fact is, though, Isaac, is that another, not necessarily negative thing, but just a byproduct of what they've done this offseason, you're probably not going to get the opportunity as those of us who cover the Grizzlies, fans who cheer for the team, you're probably not going to get as many chances to see the immediate payoff of bringing in these young talents like you would in previous years, because minutes are just going to be hard to come by because of how successful you've been in recent years. Young players already fit many spots of this rotation, so the immediate contributions of a Zaire Williams, a reclamation project like a Jarrett Culver, Santi Aldama, Sam Merrill, and others, you're not going to be able to have them put on display as much in Memphis. South Haven is going to be fun, but the other thing that's going to be coming up about this season, and maybe even into the 22-23 season, tracking how these players develop, it may not be as easy as it was over the past few seasons, but that's fine. And that's what both the front office and the coaching staff is acknowledging. Several of these players, it's going to take time before they add value, but that's the key, getting them in the best position to add value in the future.
Yeah, like you said, I think it's going to be really fun for the Hustle this season. So I hope Grizzlies fans get down to South Haven and check out the Hustle, because I think it's going to be some fun guys to watch down there, some guys off this main roster that, again, I mean, they've taken a lot of swings on guys that aren't going to be able to crack the rotation, just like you said. So you might not see these guys developing on the floor with the Grizzlies. I mean, you just got to watch it for internal improvement and improving in practice, improving down in South Haven. And I think that's kind of what you're going to see. And I think if the team does take a step back, I think there are going to be some fans that are upset. But this is kind of a byproduct of them overachieving these first 2 years. Again, you don't want to get stuck in, we're a play-in team, we're 7, 8, 9, 10 seed going into the playoffs. You want to get higher than that. And in order to get higher than that, I think some of these moves are necessary. So it's going to take patience. And again, this front office is set there, but I think a lot of fans still don't understand that. They see this team make the playoffs last year, almost make the playoffs in the first year, and they're thinking, oh, well, we ought to be going out and getting veterans, kind of like what we saw with the Hawks. And that kind of worked out for the Hawks this year, but I kind of got a feeling they might slip back with some of the things that happened in the East. I think the Grizzlies are doing it the right way. I don't have a problem with this at all. If they take a step back this season, I definitely understand that, because I understand it's for the greater good and long-term growth. That's what I want fans to understand, man. If this team does take a step back, man, a slight step back, you don't expect them to take a huge step back, but if they do take a step back, man, don't kill this front office, man. Have patience and let these guys get the opportunity to grow and see what happens with these assets they're collecting.
And that's the thing, you know, is you hit the nail on the head. Listen, this, whether a step back or step forward occurs, at the end of the day, it's going to be based on young talent developing. But there are also some young talents already on the Grizzlies roster who you also want to see consistency from for different at different levels and for different reasons. Obviously, let's start with Jaren Jackson Jr., Isaac. Truly do feel if the health is there, you're looking at a guy who easily could put together one of the best cases for most improved player. But for me, I know everybody's excited about the offense, which they should be. If he can show his second season level of offense or better, that's going to be such a huge boost and a great development. But the defensive consistency is something that I am truly looking forward to this year. I feel one of the biggest narratives going into the season is Jaren's ability to be consistent on both ends of the court. He truly is one of the biggest sources of narratives and success, one of the biggest storylines to follow going into his fourth season.
Yeah, I think everything, when we talk about whether this team takes a step forward or take a step back this season, I think a lot of that is dependent on Jaren Jackson, the type of season he has. Does he take that big step forward? Because if he does, I think this team could potentially be just as good as it was last year or even better, depending on what happens there. But like you said, I mean, we've seen that the three-point shooting, but I want to see him work a little bit more offensively inside and moving Valanciunas, I think, allows him to do that. And as you said, on the defensive end, having that consistency is a big key. And I think staying on the floor and staying out of foul trouble is another thing that they really can't afford, especially with JV going this season. And I think those are the big question marks going into the season. Can he be consistent on the defensive end? You want to see him scoring more on the inside. And also, can he stay on the floor and stay out of foul trouble? That's been a big problem of his. And in order for him to take that next step, I think you have to be on the floor. You can't do it on the bench. So I think that's something that he has to work on. But I'm a big believer in his abilities. I think last year, I think one positive thing that you saw, I don't think anything that you saw last season was physical with not being a player that he was before. I think it was just rust. He looked fine physically, and I think that's a really good sign. And you could listen to him on at the end of the season presser. Man, he wanted to get in the gym right then. I mean, you've seen the workouts with him and John, some videos coming out. I think he's a guy that has the work ethic and the want to be the best player he can be. So I think I'm poised for a big season from him, and I think we're going to see that, and I think he's going to show that he's the player that we all thought he was after that second season.
Many teams have made moves this offseason to upgrade their roster by adding new parts or upgrading current parts when it comes to players on their roster. Well, the same idea can be applied towards your vehicle. In time, to make it continue to perform as good as it can or perform better, you're going to have to upgrade parts. And the best place for you to go to be able to find those parts is rockauto.com. Number one, it's very easy to use. Within a few clicks of the button, you're likely going to find what you need at rockauto.com. The other thing is that regardless of the make and model or the parts that you need, you'll likely find them there because of the depth of inventory rockauto.com has. No matter your experience level when it comes to auto repairs, rockauto.com is very feasible because it's economically friendly. This is a family-owned business. They've been in business over 20 years. They know that car parts typically fall outside of budget, so they're going to try to create an opportunity for you to get the parts that you need at a manageable cost. When you visit rockauto.com, let them know the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. Rockauto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you'll ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. So we know that Ja and Jaren obviously are the two cornerstones of this team. But, you know, Isaac, there is a quartet of players who really fit the bill as being that true supporting cast for this young core right now. Desmond Bain, De'Anthony Melton, Xavier Tillman, and Brandon Clark. And you kind of got a pair there. You got the two guards in Melton and Bain. You've got Clark and Tillman. I don't necessarily want to set up a competition between those both of those duos, but I do think that one thing this year could really tell is which player at each position really is here to be in Memphis long-term, and which player at each position could potentially be part of a trade package. You know, obviously, you want all four to succeed, so you could use them in either way. But at the end of the day, I think another big, big key, especially if it's being a, you know, if you want to look at it from being the bench being really, really good like it was in 1920, but just in general, Bain, Tillman, Clark, and Melton either getting back to their best forms or taking a step forward. If that quartet can perform well in expanded roles this year, that's going to be a huge boost to Memphis actually taking a step forward besides trading off Jonas and Grayson.
Yeah, I definitely think those four guys are key to the success of this team. I mean, you need that supporting cast. I mean, we know what we're going to get from Ja. You expect big things from Jaren. But those are guys outside of DB and Kyle who are other guys who kind of solidified themselves, especially this season. So you expect with similar things or similar, at least similar things from them. I think that quartet of young guys is going to be big for this team. And kind of like you said, looking long term, I think you could see some consolidation there as well. But again, I think Bain, I'm expecting a big jump from him. I was a big fan of his prior to the draft. It was weird, but me and David were talking on the podcast like a month before the draft, obviously, and he asked me who was my trade-up guy, his dream trade-up guy. We weren't talking about guys at the top of the draft or anything. And I said Desmond Bain. At that time, I had no idea the Grizzlies had any interest or they were trading up to get him. So it was kind of amazing that actually happened. But I'm a big fan of his. And again, looking at Summer League, you got to be encouraged with what he was doing on the ball and the way he was shooting the basketball. I think he's going to take a big step forward. Hopefully he's one thing last year, I felt like he didn't shoot the basketball enough. And you move Grayson Allen, I think he's going to slide into that. And I think we're going to see him taking more shots and knocking down more shots. So that's big for him. Also, I think it allows Melton to get more minutes. And again, he showed tremendous two-way ability and improvement last year from three-point range. Tillman was a steal for this front office to get him in the second round. He wasn't even expected to get drafted by a lot of mocks. He wasn't even showing up on mocks. So they got a steal there, a guy, older guy, and that was kind of the MO of this season, picking these older college players that come in ready to play, and he certainly was every bit of that. And Brandon Clark was a guy who kind of took a step back last year. Was it because he was banged up? Was he injured? We never really found that out, but I expect him to be more like rookie season in Clark, and if he is, I think that's really tremendous for this team. And again, if Jaren takes that depth step, this team could be right where they were last year, or even better. I just think moving JV kind of changes where you're going to get that offense from. I think it gives more opportunities not only for Jaren, but all across the roster for guys to score. So if that happens, I think this team is going to be just fine.
The other thing that gets me really excited, Isaac, is the return of Jaren. A bigger role for Melton potentially. Having Steven Adams now in JV's role to go along with Dylan, Kyle, and others. I think when you look at this starting lineup and when you look at the bench, that defensive depth that really stepped up last year as being a calling card for this team, I think it could be stronger in terms of quality and quantity, especially if Jaren can come back healthy and he can get more consistent. To me, the identity, the anchor of this team this year is going to be their defense, a versatile defense that not only can play in general good, effective defense, but could be so deadly when it comes to opportunistic basketball, turning turnovers into points like they did the best in the NBA at the first half of last year. The moves that have been made, along with the players that we already have, this defensive upside really strikes me as being something to be excited about for next season.
Yeah, I mean, it starts off with DB and Cal, and we know what they bring to this team. And then you talk about Jaren coming back and healthy and the impact that he can have defensively. I think it's tremendous. And even Zaire Williams, with that length and athleticism, if he's out on the floor, he's definitely going to bring a different dynamic, as well as Jared Culver. I think if you're looking at the upside, outside of his offensive struggles, I think defensively is where he has the most upside. So I think he could add to that as well. And I agree. I mean, this team can be in a attacking defense that you're bringing guys in and out that are wearing other teams out. And I think closing games with a lineup, you got DB, Cal, and Jared out there at the center position, I think is what we could see a lot of. I think this team is going to be tough to score on. But if Jaren is healthy and right, I think being the anchor, and especially late in games, I think this team is going to be tough to deal with. Offensively, I think it's going to be the question. You losing that offense for JB, but if they're in games late, I think this team has the defensive ability and depth to really cause some problems for teams.
And then, so we know that the defensive depth is there, but I mentioned it a few times. I think others has as well. Taking away Jonas Valanciunas is kind of like taking the training wheels off this offense. I think that one of the things the Grizzlies have looked to do is take away the ability, not necessarily take away, they know they can produce in the paint, but through facilitation as well as giving more minutes to shooters and getting Jaren back, I think another goal for this team is expanding the offense out. Finding more high percentage looks from three. Isaac, if I were to ask you from where this team was at the beginning of the offseason, right after they lost to the Jazz, to now, do you think this team, in terms of the players that are going to take on the bulk of minutes, do you feel this team is equipped to finally take that step forward shooting the three like we hope they had last year, but we know they need to do to really get that next step as an organization to be a sustainable winner that can advance in the playoffs in the modern NBA?
Hey, I do. And to go back to the last bit we were just talking about there, forgot to mention Steven Adams. I think he's a slight defensive upgrade over JV as well, so I think he's gonna help there. But yeah, I think moving JV, I think it's gonna open things up for Jaren, and again, like I said, for all of these guys, I think we're gonna see better looks from three, and I think Bane is gonna take a step forward. I want to see him taking, I would say two to three more attempts a game than we saw him taking last year. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I definitely want to see him taking more shots. I think Ja is gonna work on his shot this summer and has been doing so. Think he's going to shoot the basketball better. And Jaren, who you didn't have there for the bulk of last season, I just think they're going to be great shots for the team. Melton took a tremendous leap in his shooting. I mean, he was shooting upwards of 44% from three last year. And if one shows on the roster, he's a guy that can knock down shots. DB can knock down shots. Kyle really improved his three-point shooting. So the shooting is there. I think that just getting better shots and getting more of them is – it's going to be a product of moving JV, because I think some of those touches that JV were getting inside, they're now going to be perimeter shots. So the opportunities are going to be there. The guys just got to knock down the shots, and I think they're going to. I think you got a lot of guys on, a lot of shots to be had, and a lot of guys that can make those shots on this roster. So that's one thing I'm excited about is the spacing that I think they're going to have. I think it's going to be better than it's been in the past, and I think that's kind of the vision that Taylor Jenkins has for this offense. And I think this offense is going to be open up, and I think we're going to see a lot of good perimeter shooting this season.
So then the last thing I'll ask you is this. In my opinion, next year, the development of Jaw and Jaren taking that next step of being healthy and being consistent to whatever that may look like on both ends of the court, Jaw doing it for a full season to really be in that all-star conversation, and Taylor Jenkins doing what he can to help these young players move forward. Those three narratives to me are more important than the win-loss record next season. Do you agree or disagree? Not putting you on the spot, not saying there's a wrong answer, but that's my thought. How important is the win-loss record next year to defining it being a successful year for the Grizzlies?
I think you don't want to see them take a nosedive or anything. But, I mean, if it's slightly less than last year, I think it could still be successful. I think you hit the nail on the head with Ja and Jaren. Their development, I think, is the most important aspect of this season. I mean, you want to see growth from all the guys, but those are the two guys, especially Jaren coming back from injury. You want to see him expound on what we saw from him that second year. And I think he will. And Ja going into his third year, this is a big year for him. Defensively and perimeter shooting-wise are the two things that you want to see him work on. I don't think he'll ever be a plus defender, but I think there's some room for improvement there for sure. And I definitely think he'll improve shooting the basketball. We even saw in the second half of the season that already started to tick up from what he was doing earlier in his career. Earlier, he actually shot the basketball better his rookie season, but earlier in his second year, earlier last year, he shot the ball better in the second half of the season. And those are things that you want to see improve upon. And again, like a lot of people might be upset because, I mean, they feel like this should just be linear, like you should make the playoffs. You were in the playoffs, play in this year. Next year, you should be a seventh seed. And next year after that, you should be a fourth seed. And that's just not how this always works. And I think that could be the case here. I do think this is still a play-in team, playoff team, that level of team, even moving JV, because I think Steven Adams isn't scoring the way that JV does, but he brings some different aspects to the table. And I think Jaren taking that next step can make up for some of that offense and being better shots, as we just talked about, for other guys, I think can make up that gap, and this team could be just as good or better than last season. But if not, I think the development of your guys, your long-term pieces, is what you should really be keyed in on this season. So if they do lose less games, I think it could still be a tremendous success if those guys improve.
So obviously we've talked with Isaac and such great insight, but Isaac, I didn't mention this to you before the pod because I want these answers to come from the heart, but I got a bit of a lightning round for you. You think you're ready here?
I'm ready, man. I'm ready.
All right. So if there was a three-point contest and your duo that was doing it was Desmond Bane and Mike Miller, who wins that three-point contest?
Oh man, that's a tough one, man, because Mike Miller is one of my all-time favorite Grizzlies. I gotta go with Mike, man. He's been doing it longer, man. Desmond Bane's gonna be tremendous, and I think he is gonna eventually probably break all those records. But today, if gun to my head, I think I'd have to go with Mike Miller, the veteran experience that he has shooting the basketball. But I think Bane is definitely gonna get there, and I think we could see that this season.
During the grit and grind era, you know Tony Allen is your starting two guard. Who would you rather have had as your sixth man? O.J. Mayo, his first 2 years in the league, when he really was a bucket. He really was a very good basketball player. O.J. Mayo or Dylan Brooks last year? Who would you rather have as your sixth man?
Oh, man, he's a tough man. Great questions. Because I was a big fan of O.J. as well, man. So disappointed that that trajectory didn't continue because he looked like he was on his way to being a big-time player in this league. But I think I got to go with DB, and I think the difference is the value that he brings defensively. I think that's kind of where he separates himself, and the offense is pretty much on that same level now. So I think two-way ability, I think I got to go with DB.
All right, and this is the last one, and this may be the toughest one. If you had to put money on yourself in a contest, which would you be more confident betting on yourself in? Beating Ja Morant in the Milk Crate Challenge or grabbing 5 rebounds in 45 seconds with Steven Adams blocking you out? Where would you have more confidence?
I guess, and neither, if I'm being honest, but I think I would have to go with Ja Morant because I think Steven Adams would just kill a regular human being out there trying to get boards on him. So I think I'd have to go with Ja, but I don't have any confidence in either one, if I'm being honest.
If I'm being honest as well, I can't speak for Isaac. I typically try to speak only for myself, but I can tell you this, Isaac, I have no desire to try the Milk Crate Challenge. If other people want to have fun with it, go right ahead. It seems like it's a phenomenon now, but if you want to have fun with it, go right ahead and enjoy it. You haven't tried it yet, have you?
No, man. I'm a bigger guy, so that's not happening, man. It's not happening. But I definitely don't want to go against Steven Adams either because Steven Adams might actually kill you. You're trying to box him out. So,
His name is Isaac Simpson. I'll tell you this: I've had the chance to talk with Isaac more, get to know Isaac a bit through covering the Grizzlies. It's always wonderful just interacting with Isaac. Isaac, I also want to tell you this: congratulations to you and the Tigers fans getting Jalen Duren. I know that my fandom, you know, it sticks with the other team on the other end of the state, but congratulations with Penny landing Jalen Duren. Hopefully landing Imani Bates, finally getting a few years after you had hoped it would be, getting this group that really could make a difference. Congratulations on those gets for the Tigers.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. I think this time, if he does land Imani Bates, even without Bates, I think the difference this time is you're not solely dependent on freshmen. I think that this might be the year that they take a leap because you have a lot of experience coming back from the NIT championship team with guys like Lester Keonis, Landers Nolly, DeAndre Williams, Alex Lomax, and you're mixing them in with these freshmen, especially if they land a money base, which I think that they're going to. I think this team has tremendous potential mixing those freshmen in, tremendous talented freshmen, and the veteran guys coming back. I think this could be a very special season for the Tigers.
and Isaac just in general, with some important news about the Tigers on the horizon. Obviously, the Grizzlies finalizing their roster. Where can folks find your great work, your consistent great work, throughout the week and just throughout the coming months, knowing where to find your opinions, obviously, with David Williams and others?
Oh, man, I really appreciate that endorsement. You can find us at Hoopball Grizz for the website at Hoopball Grizz on Twitter. You can find me on my personal Twitter account at Isaac_Rivals, Isaac_Rivals. I'm extremely active, probably too active on Twitter, I'll always say. But you can definitely find me on there. So go over there and give me a follow. Also, for the Tigers, you can follow me at TigerSportsReport.com. I actually got a new podcast starting called the Tiger Den Podcast in a couple of weeks. So make sure you check that out. I have a Twitter page for that as well, at Tigers Den Pod. So go follow me on all my social medias, man. And I'm definitely open. I'm not one of those that don't respond. I respond too much at that time. So I'll definitely interact with you on social media. So that's where you can find me.
Isaac, now I got to sit here and say I'm a bit skeptical of the fact that you'll respond to requests. I've asked you to upload a video of you singing Rocky Top for the past 6 months, and you still haven't responded to that request.
Oh, did you send me a request? Yeah, that's one. I don't think I got that one, man. Yeah, might have to wait on that one. I don't know if I can complete that one, but yeah, man, it's all fun, man. Like I said, man, I'm not one of the ones that just like absolutely hate UT. It's just a fun rivalry between the Memphis and in-state thing. Last game playing this season at Nashville on a neutral court, so that one should be fun, especially if the Tigers have the team I think they're going to have.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Listen, I'll cheer for UT till the day that I die. You feel the same way about the Tigers, but at the end of the day, we can do it and have fun while also enjoying the fact that we all cheer for the Grizzlies. His name is Isaac Simpson. You will see him. First off, good luck with the new podcast, the Tigers Den Podcast, coming out in a few weeks. You'll see him tweeting about the Tigers. You'll see him tweeting about the Grizzlies mainly. He'll throw in a bit of White Sox and Cowboys, but always is so much fun to interact with, not only being a great source of information, but just a great guy as well. Isaac, if you'll stick with us for just for a few after the show, but thank you so much for making time to join us for this edition of Locked On Grizzlies.
Thanks, man. I definitely appreciate you reaching out, man. And anytime, man, I'd love to jump on here and talk Grizz with you anytime.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Isaac will certainly be back with us in a short time, probably before the season starts, doing a bit of a season preview, as we'll do with many of the great folks that cover the Grizzlies. You can find Isaac at Isaac_Rivals on Twitter. My name's Sean Coleman. You can also find me and the show at StatsSAC on Twitter. For Isaac Simpson, I'm Sean Coleman. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.